and Ivan. All others are present. Previous leave of absence, we have nil. Response to previous questions taken on notice. Questions from public airport committee held on the 4th, there are nil. Questions from elected members from June the 5th, there are nil. Public question times. This is a public meeting. Are there any questions from the public? There are no public present. So the questions from the public will be nil. We move on. This meeting is being recorded as an audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law and Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual, vocal, electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. That is, Eric, is a case to bring out in case there are any persons in the public questions. Just to explain that. Public question time, there are nil. Public statement time, there are nil. Any questions from members without notice? Councillor Jacobs?
No, thank you.
Nothing. Matt? Chris? Nothing. Councillor Gillingham?
Nothing.
Councillor Zombay?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Nothing. We move on. Declaration by members who have given due consideration all matters contained in the business paper presented before them. This is to declare that you have read the minutes of the meeting and you're aware of the contents. Just in case. All those in favour? Motion carried. Thank you. Announced by presiding member without notice. I beg your pardon. Minutes of the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday the 5th of June be confirmed as a true and correct record of proceedings. Do I have a mover? Was there any points of clarification?
No points.
Okay. Councillor Jacobs, second Councillor Hunt. All those in favour? Carried. Announcement of presiding member without discussion. Just a short announcement. Eric, if you've got a bit of time after this meeting, we'd just like to sit down with you with three or four of our members just to bring you up to date on the contents of the airport committee and any questions that you may think you would like to know. Also, I'll ask the CEO, myself and Eric and probably one other member of the committee to stay by and just run past the process. Thank you. Petition deputations, Port Hedland International Memory Program update and improvement reform, and now pass this across to the Program Director of Airport Redevelopment. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. This is just a part of my monthly presentation that I normally do, bringing everyone up to speed on the progress that we've made on the redevelopment program, the airport interim improvement program, and then the next steps in our strategic reviews on the master plan, the land use plan, aeronautical, terminal growth, and ground transport, and the next steps in the process. Okay, the redevelopment program. Oh, we need to hit the a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
You had to bring up the rest. We're trying to get. Whoop. Yeah, that's it, perfectly. Okay, so we're looking at as part of the program for increasing the terminal through here. This footprint here is showing the terminal initial growth, stage one, phase one growth over here, which you can see it takes into the freight terminal here. So this is part of the staged works and more immediate works that need to be looked at for the removal of the pilot hangar here and the establishment of an interim freight facility in this zone through here. With the apron works that have been commissioned and are about to get underway, this hangar here needs to be demolished, pulled down, picked up, moved, whatever the process needs to be going forward. We have actually looked at that potentially as an interim freight arrangement in its own right, picking it up, moving it, have to dismantle, and moving it and then popping it over into this zone through here and then establishing some further works to create administration offices, second entries into it, public access and the like. That proved to be too costly. Within this interim stage works here, We're looking at now starting to, in-house starting to look at the design review and the review of what that needs to look like in terms of ground transport arrangements for private vehicle access and freight vehicle access and the like in that zone through here.
So that Pyro Aviation, there's nothing in that that can be utilised for anything else, but...
Yeah, no, we've looked at it. I think it's around the $200,000 sort of facility to pull it down and re-establish it. It's just too cost prohibitive.
Yep.
So what we've been talking about, and we had a conversation this week about it, was potentially putting it out for a public auction process.
Mm-hmm.
So advertising it, popping it out for public auction, getting someone to pay us to actually remove it.
Yep.
So we're looking at that as an option for removing that from that site. So what we will do in this zone through here now is start doing some design works, and we use the in-house team to do that, some design work around establishing a interim freight facility. We don't want to spend too much money because it's probably not going to have more than longest period, probably a 5-year life frame, while we start to look at the new freight logistics zone and the establishment of that.
Because in your expansion or in your development, I should imagine the freight terminal will not be in that area there. It will be down further south because it's almost twice as big, isn't it?
Yeah. It will be around down over here,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
If I've got that orientation right. So that is only interim. It's not best practice either, but it will work fine. It will go through the security gate through here.
Yeah.
So it's basically all landside, and that's all quite manageable. That will work, and then that will be able to... take the freight on and off the aircraft in a reasonably timely fashion, because the aircraft are all just parked in through here. So there's no impediments to actually having this operate for a period of time in that review. Okay, so the next step is to look at the secure area. We've budgeted around $200,000 for this next stage of works. We had a series of design reviews now, and we've settled on this final concept for the design. Basically, the dotted line here is the demolition works that will be undertaken, and that's the existing line through there, the security point through there. At this stage, all of this is currently landside. By establishing this wall through here, this dotted line here is actually a security screen outside of normal operation hours. It pulls down and it locks. What that does for us in terms of making this a secure area, one of the operational issues you need to manage is keeping that airside, well, not airside, but that secure area secure, so post-screening. If we weren't to actually lock this off here, the issue we would have is we would have to sweep through the entire terminal from a security perspective and do inspections, and that would include the kitchen and the cafe every time that we wanted to re-establish the secure area. So by establishing a roller door secure screen there, we can slip it down, lock it. That means we don't have to shut the terminal outside of operational hours if we don't want to. We can keep the terminal open. That's just a very simple fix there. This is quite wide through here. The works that we've looked at through here, there's a bit of debate about possibly we could put in a second screening point through there. That would be fairly tight, but we won't need to, as I said, because we're looking at the new terminal design going forward and the terminal growth. We establish a wall through here to allow international arrivals to come out through this zone through here. To maintain the outside area for people that wish to sit outside, we enclose that in a security mesh, and we take a piece off the end here to create some dwell through here undercover in case there are any meters and greeters for the international passengers that will come through. So all of this is only meant to have a lifespan of about 2 years. What this does, though, is it alleviates the issue of on-time performance with airlines, with the pressure that we're currently under with the existing screening, with everyone waiting to the last second for the last call to come through, because the issue we have obviously within this zone through here is there's no toilets, insufficient seating, and there's not much space in that zone through there. So these interim works, we've completed the design phase in terms of the concept, what it's going to look like. The next steps is the in-house team will now start scoping this work. And there's a couple of weeks worth of work in getting that down and ready to go out to quotes. So we'll get some quotes from local builders to undertake this works. So at this stage, at a high level, we're probably looking about a month away from getting some quotes in to actually undertake these works So these are definitely... Oh, you might hit the button again one more time. I forgot about that. So I'm busy explaining all this and I forgot about all the captions. So enclosing the cafe there, the glass... This is a glass wall. We have to move a hose reel here for fire coating, like moving the glass panels through here and resizing the screening point. Sorry, I forgot to pop those up.
Where did they get back those are the historical ones, aren't they, those glass panels? And you've only got one point of departure, is that right? From both international and domestic?
No, there's point of departure here.
Yeah.
And there's two points of departure.
Okay, yeah, there's only one there. So this is another point of departure here.
Yeah. I mean, the airlines don't tend to use it that much, but of course it can be used. It's there to be used. And the number of times I've departed from the airport, I have not seen it used so far, but it's certainly there to be used.
Where's your customs over here?
Yeah, so you've got your inwards immigrations here, you've got your outwards function, custom immigrations there, your inwards immigration here, and you've got your quarantine customs function through here. It's all very tight. There is a stage two to the interim works, which would see a building, an office, interview inspection rooms built here to take some pressure off this zone through here. But all of it's really just tweaking around the edges at this stage. None of this... To fix the international area, it really needs the new growth in the terminal. The rest of it's just too expensive to given the lifespan that's left on this terminal.
Any domestic arrivals are coming through the departure lounges?
Domestic arrivals? No, they come down.
Over the other side. Aren't you going to class that off, or are you going to close that all off altogether?
So if you're coming, you're walking straight into the Qantas check-in terminal?
Yeah.
And the I think where that green line is almost where the Westpac ATM is.
Yeah.
So what it does, at the moment, a lot of people sitting in the cafe trying to get one more beer down their throat before they go through. And this just provides the opportunity for the, you go in and then you can stay in there till you're called for your flight. So you're actually screened and secure.
Yeah.
Take the pressure off that one.
Is there any long-term retail that's going to come at the arrivals end? Like I'm thinking of a drink or a newspaper or something up the other end?
Yeah, as part
because
of
Because at the moment they can't access this. I suppose they could.
Yeah, they can.
They just got to come through security.
Yeah. Within this body of works for just a smaller terminal footprint, we're not adding any additional retail because we're just robbing space out of the terminal that we don't have. Yeah. But certainly within, it's all up for grabs with the new terminal in terms of what we do with the retail.
And what's your timeline on this?
We'd look to have potentially a contract in place within a month's time. Okay. We want to get this done as quickly as possible. So this is the most urgent piece of work on our books at the moment.
So the other thing is, but I know it's something that we probably don't want to talk about over lunch, but I've had so many complaints from people sitting outside the GM's toilets there, and it's not a very nice aroma that comes from out because the door's always open there, so is there something that can be looked into with that?
Yes.
If you're not sitting there, you don't know. But if you're sitting there waiting for a plane when it's totally packed out, it's a bit unpleasant.
Is it?
So this is where a few people have been in contact with me about that, and I just wanted to bring that up. And I thought, round the table, maybe you could let us know what will be happening with that. Because we're still going to be walking past that.
No way.
Take the chairs.
Rooms to sit down because in the departure lounges at the moment there's all that seating, but people don't sit in there until 5 minutes before they're getting on the plane. But all that seating will become available as soon as you've gone through this screening.
And I just think there may be a problem with the door to the toilets. They're both toilets.
Well, we could see.
It could be looked into.
We could talk to maintenance about having a look into
that.
Sarah's absolutely right. Passengers will now dwell through here, and even here, quite frankly, because that'll all be open. So they can dwell and sit where they like. So there'll be a lot more room, a lot more space. Okay, so the other piece of the interim program is the Terminal Verge amenity, the shelters, the landscaping. We're looking at establishing a smoking zone over here. What I didn't mention before was that in terms of code and the like, the outside area would be non-compliant for smoking because food can be taken out into that area and the like. So with these works, that there'd be the removal of the ability to smoke out in that area. In fact, it currently doesn't comply. And the operator themselves probably shouldn't be operating in the fashion they are operating in now. So we would establish a zone over here. We're looking at establishing shelters.
Can I just butt in there? I believe the School of the Air has looked into that, and it's a little bit too close to parents and children when it comes to smoking, because they park just across from that and asked if it could be moved somewhere else. I believe there's some discussion.
This is a completely new zone that I'm talking about.
But it's closer to the School of the Air.
It's just close to across the road from radiation, is that correct?
Yeah, just to clarify, that is within code at the moment. So at the moment, people smoke within that outdoor area in the cafe. What we're looking to do is to transfer that smoking area over onto the verge.
Yeah, there's already been a complaint, though, I can say, from School of the Air, because they've already come to meetings about smoking being so close to a school.
Yep, so just to clarify, going onto the verge is within code.
We did present it to the airport user group, and consensus was that no one wanted the smoking anywhere. If it was the other end, the other end said they didn't want it there. So, I don't know.
They put it in the middle then, so it's everybody there.
So, Jan, you're saying this end is a concern about the proximity to
the school. Back there, the white one. Oh, no, it's not. It's the other one.
So that's the spot there.
That's a long way away.
They still park up, they can't get out of their cars, etc. And there's some car parking is going to be actually in the car parking there for teachers and parents and students. Anyway, I just want to bring it up so you're aware of it.
Okay. We'll take that on board, as Anna said, that would comply with code. We're looking obviously at some landscaping through here, creating a bin compound, have the bins within a compound just to make it neater and look and tidier. And we're going to work.
You could bring the smoking up here.
No, on the other side of the terminal, opposite ends. Would it matter if
that's a major? That's a major crossing.
No, we don't want the smokers there because every man and his dog walk parks there, and they're all smoking. That's even worse than having a handful of students and parents.
Well, what we were saying this morning is that the buses are pulling up here. Most of the smokers seem to be the people waiting for the bus.
That's right.
And if the bus is now temporarily going here. Hopefully these guys will walk straight over there and they can smoke next to the bus over there.
The problem is when these guys get dropped off to pick up their, to wait for their flight, they're not going to be able to smoke where they used to, so they'll all be outside. And it'd be like walking past them to come to the terminal again. And that's...
What's the solution, though?
I mean, I'll just ask the question if the opposite end would be any better.
So up here?
Yeah. There's no traffic.
I reckon put them in the cage. Once we've relocated the bus park, when the police get dropped off, a lot of them hop out of the bus and have a cigarette straight away.
Any smokers in the room?
Once we get the new parking bay, they can go in there and smoke.
Is there a problem on the other side? Why can't we just reverse flick it to the other side?
When you put that bus bay in, that's the ideal spot for it, the other side.
I guess that's the detail. We can look at that.
Yep,
we can see it.
So,
but it is.
If possible, keep it away from the School of the Air. Keep it away from the major crossings for people.
So the body of work that we're looking at through here, once again, as a quick wins to improve humanity, that's going to be looked at by our in-house team as well, to have a look at that and start to consider what pieces of work need to be done and what it's going to look like and feel like. So at this stage, the main focus will be on the secure area, and this will quickly follow after that. So the bus holding facility, which we've spoken about a couple of times now, looking at establishing it over there as a variation to the contract for the apron works. So we're basically using the same contractor, Russell, to undertake those works. The time frame on that's probably a couple of months.
They'll start on the eastern end of the open first, so there'll be an 11-week program between the whole lot, between the open works and the research.
Yes, within that period of time. It's not a great deal of work.
Not a great deal of work. I just thought in terms of program, they'd be focusing on the opens first.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they'd quickly follow and finish it.
Now, what track are they going to take from there, that bus holding facility, down the terminal?
They basically, I think there's a crossover about there.
Yeah.
So they basically come down here.
Yeah.
Almost the same park you do for the rental cars.
Yeah.
So it's not too onerous a walk. It's not too far away. It gets away from the problem of having all these buses parked across here. So the office and transport and security is much more comfortable.
So you don't eliminate pick up down there altogether?
My buses. Bus pick up. Yeah, they can pick up here. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not going to the terminal no more.
No. Okay. That's great. No buses. Yeah, it just takes all that congestion off the front of the terminal. Buys us a lot more time too while we look at the longer term planning. Okay. The interim freight hub, we spoke about earlier on as well, just in terms of the part of the air services building that's left remaining, and then there's we're looking again, once again, for the in-house team to start thinking about design and concepts around what that's going to look like. Because the pilot hangar was too expensive to move in the end, we'll be looking at reviewing that and creating a new, we don't want to spend too much money, but creating a new facility. And we will also be anticipating that we would then take that out to the open market in terms of looking for a freight operator that would then operate that freight facility going forward.
Commercial enterprise.
Yeah. So, and that's how we generate the business case for this piece of work that we're going to do here.
So, Brett, could you expand on that? Why are we, just to expand on why we're going to an interim when we've got an area for the new freight hub that we've talked about for the last 6 months? What's sort of the main purpose of the interim?
The master planning and land use planning, which we'll undertake going forward, that will challenge all of the existing parameters, all of the existing land uses, what's been planned, test it all, and that should still say that the freight facilities should end up over in this zone through here.
Yeah.
Anticipate that happening. Would not want to start works down there in the shorter term until we've actually done that piece of work. Also, the consultancy around the eventual freight design configuration, how that fits into the logistics zone, that will actually take place after that initial master plan refresh has been done. So from January onwards, there's probably a six month period of looking at that. We'll also be looking at the economic viability of that, because we'll be spending a great deal more money down there in creating that final freight facility. So we just want to do all that market testing to make sure it's a viable business case to undertake the works. And then we'll definitely, subject to that outcome, we would undertake the works to establish that facility down there. And it all needs to be, that needs to be established in terms of the delivery of the logistics area, because we've got the access that we need to generate and create from a ground transport perspective. The air access is not a problem. There's obviously additional apron works and the like to establish that as well. But having said that, that then will take a number of months and a year or so to get that established and in place. So we have the terminal zone through here, stage one, phase one, that we want to get underway as soon as possible, looking at going into detailed document design from January of next year, with a view to having contractors starting on site mid-next year, finishing opening a new terminal in 2015, at high level, that's the sort of program. So we need to get, now it's not going to work, we need to get that out of the way sooner rather than later, and it's just about the jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. What's the estimated costs to create that interim freight hub, and what sort of returns? Are we going to get immediate returns, or what sort of time frame are we looking at?
That's what we're going to investigate now. So we were hoping to spend $100,000 to $200,000 to relocate the shed and actually establish the groundworks, establish a bit of amenity around that to get that functional and operating. We're not going to be able to do that. So what we will do is undertake a bit of design work around that now, and then we'll get that costed. We'll get a feel for what that costs. And then we'll do evaluation, we'll assess the value of that and look at what sort of rental revenue streams we can generate from that, and then test the market. So short answer is we don't have those figures yet.
So if something goes in there as an interim facility, is there a life for it afterwards?
Yeah, potentially if we don't end up ultimately... Come on, there we go. if we don't end up ultimately putting the bus parking down there, then it could have a life after that. It could be used as a warehouse facility or a freight backup storage facility. It doesn't have to necessarily, its life as a freight shed doesn't have to stop in say 3 to 5 years' time. But at this stage, and subject to the planning outcomes and the planning reviews that we'll be doing through the master plan, it's looking at it as having a finite life.
Have we got a cost structure on that?
No, not at this stage. We need to do a bit more planning around that just yet. But in terms of just the jigsaw puzzle and freeing up the area for the terminal expansion, it's just starting to plan for when that needs to take place. Okay. Okay, the strategic reviews. The land use planning and programs. So this is around the master plan, the review of the master plan. The intent is there will be initial desktop review by the consultant that we appoint. And as I said, we've had a range of consultancies tender for the works. Really good submissions, and we're now currently going through a process of reviewing, and we'll be bringing a recommendation to the committee at the next meeting. For the preferred consultancies and then moving forward with those. They will undertake a desktop review of the existing master plan. They will establish a workshop. The intent of the workshop is to have key officers and this committee in that workshop, and that workshop will be held over a day where we will throw up a number of concepts, and it's almost like a brainstorming session, and we'll be challenging all of the different users. We'll be looking at all of the options, and then they will. After that workshop, they will update the projects. They will and then provide a series of recommendations for future programs back to the committee, back to the officers, council officers, and then we'll start preparing detailed land use plans. We'll go out for stakeholder consultations with the various stakeholders, and then finalising those plans and concepts by the end of this calendar year, and then incorporating those into the master plan. Then the next piece of work will be the freight logistics hubs, the planning and the programming of that, and then starting to look at that as a discrete piece of work around its design and its ultimate configuration and the business cases for that as well.
When you get your workshop, would you not include your stakeholders in that workshop, Brett?
No, I'd like to do the piece of work first, and then engage the stakeholders for their comments around some, because what will probably come from the workshop is I'm anticipating more than one option, which we will then table with stakeholders. And then we'll do another round where we bring it back to the committee to say these were the findings, these were the comments, these were the outcomes, and this is the recommended way forward.
Okay.
Okay, operational compliance is really quite simple. This is really just a very short piece of work, just, as I said, to do a bit of a peer review across what's best practice at other airports. The master plan is quite a good document, and I'm not anticipating there being anything major coming out of that, but it's just a check, just to make sure that it ticks all the boxes from the Department of Transport and Security and the like, and CASA and Air Services Australia, looking at things like incorporation of potentially aircraft noise exposure forecasts and things like that within the plan. And if there are recommendations, then that is something else that we would then look at and incorporate. So it'd be additional cost if the recommendations recommend anything that we've not already incorporated within the plan. Yeah. So that's just a bit of a test of the master plan. The terminal growth, there has been some planning done. I tabled that at the last airport committee meeting to talk through the functional areas and aspects that were actually originally designed through the work that had been done. We will be using that as a base to start reviewing the functionality of the terminal, what it's going to look like in terms of its growth going forward, and then producing a few options, and then once again establishing that same workshop program, anticipating to try and run these workshops back to back with each other. And this particular workshop will be looking at the functionality of the terminal, looking at the different functional areas, looking at how we process passengers, even looking at the retail and the like, and how aircraft park across the front of the terminal, the whole functional piece, basically. And then from that workshop, back into stakeholder review. This one's pretty critical. We really need to get the airlines on board, border agencies, Office of Transport and Security, Civil Aviation Safety Authority. So there's a range of stakeholders that we need to consult with. And as part of the consultancy proposals that went out, the actual stakeholder paid piece was actually in part of that proposal as well, as that they would be part of the first round of consultations, just to make sure that we encapsulate everything on a first-hand basis to then be incorporated within the final terminal design. And then final concepts are ready to go to detailed documentation by the end of this year. And the ground transport, very similar process. There'll be a review of the existing master plan, and then there'll be some workshops around some options. We're obviously looking at ease of wayfinding as you come into the airport, circulation through the airport, best parking configuration, given the number of passengers we have and our peak periods and the like, and then ultimately terminal design and machine, even down to the types of equipment we use. We would be exploring things like, do we bring the arriving departing traffic into the car park? We currently have to man the front of the terminal to make sure that we don't have unattended vehicles and we don't have people waiting there too long. If we bring a slip lane into the car park, it's self-managing, so we'll be discussing that and seeing if that's a process we'd like to follow. I say it's self-managing because you actually have a timed period that you would be in that slip line, rather like the taxis do now, but that would be a much more shortened period. And it encourages people to move along, otherwise they end up having to go back into the car park because they're going to have to pay, basically. I've seen this done at other airports. It works quite effectively. It means you can reduce your staffing levels, you can reduce your cost of operation. And within that also, we could be moving towards best practice, which is currently being incorporated at a range of airports, which is the establishment of a 30-metre plaza area in front of the terminal, which once again, OTS is encouraging because it takes the vehicles away from the front of the terminal and I guess gets them away from what they call that blast zone. So they're paranoid people. They think that everyone wants to blow up our terminals. So we can have a look at that as well and see what we want to do in that space. So I've dived into that in a little bit of detail ahead of that, but we'll do that through the workshop and we'll certainly look at all of the options and what the intent is. We'll come up with a concrete plan that is scalable, that can grow over time. We don't want to overinvest, but we want to establish the best practice at this early point. That will go out for consultation again with the same timelines in terms of then going into documentation construction mid-next year on that. And that one, I would expect those reconfiguration works are literally a six-month project, but allowing 12 months wet season, like all that sort of stuff.
So you're saying the concept design plans will be finalised about 12 months from today?
Concept designs will be finalised by the end of this calendar year.
Yep.
Yeah. Detailed design, appointing a contractor, building the car parking, depending on the wet season, rainy season, finished mid-2015.
Yep.
Or just early-ish 2015, depending on how wet a season we have, all that sort of stuff. And you know what it's like when you get in the ground and it's wet, you just can't do any work.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Everybody's dying.
Thanks,
Chair. Thank you.
No questions? Thank you very much, Brett.
Thank you.
Very comprehensive and informative presentation. All right. Move on. What do you think, Serge?
I like it.
Very good, isn't it?
I was involved in this at Mackay Airport.
Oh, okay.
It was a great process.
Right, now we move on to the Ward International Airport. All right, members of the committee, we're now on to item 10, assessment of the expression of interest on the wastewater treatment plant. A pretty comprehensive explanation here and documentation is why the recommendation is that it goes back out again and all the applications have been rejected. And there's an officer's recommendation on page 15. Is there any points of clarification or any?
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Chair. With 18 proponents, was there a problem with the process of the assessments, or I look at the all 18 just not being rejecting all of them, just find
that. Look through that to the director.
Yeah, through the chair. It's probably the EOI was pretty poor in the first place. So, and in what's come back there, lots of them can do what's needed to be done. But what it did show us was some of them were specialised in parts of it, but not others. And it was only an EOI process to see what was out there, more to the point, what technologies there were. So now the way it's been broken up into the three portions of work, it'll go out as a tender, and all of these, once submitted, will put a tender in, or some of them possibly, but a lot will. And they'd understand what we require there as well. It's pretty open. And it was an AI just as that. So there was no budget sitting there in around this either. There was an out of year, so it just sort of defined it all a lot better to enable us to put a tender documentation together to actually go out and do the bits that need to be the tender.
Hey, point of clarification, the three items here, A, B and C, are they going to be individual requests for negotiations, director, or are they going to be just a lump sum?
Some that wouldn't be included in the tender. So the irrigation field ventilation system and tank filling would be done with the contractors we currently have on our books internally. The rising main would be involved or constructed in the subdivision.
Yep.
And then the wastewater treatment plan is a standalone. It's a standalone, and out of that, all the submissions we've got through to us, there's varying degrees, or there's all sorts of wastewater treatment plants. Some can be monitored and operated independent from here, or whether we want to be the operator of the treatment plant, or whether we want to pay someone to maintain the treatment plant for us. So there's all that type of information in there as well. But the treatment plant would definitely be a tender. The rising main would be part of the subdivision, and the third one would be something that we've already got the irrigation field in place. It's basically going from the tank, the final tank, out to where we're going to have a spray field.
So what we're saying then is that the EOI would now come down to a definitive
tender.
Yes. Yep. And that would apply to the whole three, which is much more...
Well, the third one would be...
In-house, and you do that in-house. Yeah. But that comes back to a definitive tender. Yeah, I can see it's a good result. So if there's no other points of clarification,
so move,
Councillor Sombeck, seconded Councillor Hunt. All those in favour, motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. International projects update. We've all got a copy of the updates as we are standing at the moment. And explanations, if councillors or members got any points of clarification, so any debate or any discussion on any of these recommendations?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Seconded. Moved Councillor Hunt, seconded Councillor Sombeck. All those in favour, motion carried. Can we move on? Just one question on the redevelopment program, if I may, is the expenditure commitments up to June the 30th. Are they correct? I have a problem with that one to June the 13th on the past and demolition ASA of $241,000 against $151,000 budget. Is that correct? I think yes.
There was a carry forward also in the figure of 619,000, if I remember correctly. So I think that's actually written there. It's actually written in the document in the script that there was a carry forward. So the whole budget is 700
or 800. Plus carry forward. Okay. Thank you. I imagine all those other unspent funds have been carried forward. In the business, I know I'll discuss that in the confidential item. Nothing else?
No.
Right, we have late items.
So if I can, through the chair, it's actually not a late item, but I just want to table something to be incorporated into the minutes.
Yes.
And this is the response that we put out as a media release in relation to the information that the Department of Transport had, which showed that the Town of Port Hedland had made very limited investment into the airport. Mm-hmm. I think it was some information you may have brought back from the one of the regional airport conference.
Yep.
So our staff put together a media release, which I don't think has come back to this committee. I just think it's useful to actually have this tabled within the minutes to indicate the amount of work, more than $15 million of capital expenditure, which has been essentially reinvested back into the airport to fund major projects. It's got a list of those projects.
Yep.
So with the committee's blessing, I'd just like to table that and have it incorporated into the minutes.
And with that all addition, also the fact is I understand that the Department of Transport have been advised of this, but I'd also like to see that a recommendation goes back to the Department of Transport. They do change their information, which is still remains what it was when it was presented. So even though they have got these, according to the latest documentation I saw, they have not changed the figures.
So through you, Mr Chair, we can take it on board to give them the most recent... We can give them an update up to June 30 this year and show the history on a year-by-year basis of the projects and the cost and also where those funds were derived from in case they were derived from grant revenue or our own source revenue.
No problem with that at all. Somebody like to move that? Move, Councillor. And second is Serge. All those in favour? Carried. Righto. Nation of Rich People. Councillor Hunt, Councillor Jacobs moved to come out of camera.
I think they removed come out of standing orders.
Okay, now can we have a mover for the officer's recommendation? We did have a mover. We have Councillor Hunt and Councillor Jay was coming in. We moved out of
standing orders. Yeah. Now we've got to come out of camera.
Out of confidence.
So you came out of standing orders.
Oh, okay.
Then you moved the motion. Now we just need to come out.
Let's go out of standing orders. Then camera.
Done that.
Now we have camera. Councillor Hunt and Councillor Zombat. All in agreement?
Yes. Now we're up to date.
Thank you. You got Councillor Jacobs in there, all right, didn't you?
For the moving the motion? Standing orders?
Councillor Jacobs, is that correct there now?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, righto. Applications for leave of absence. Item 14. Nothing?
The next council next meeting will be on the 7th of August and I believe we'll be at Walga Week for that, all of us.
Yes, we are going to discuss that in the...
So that, are we a leave of absence?
That'll come under 15.1.
So
next meeting.
I think we're proposing to
Alter it. What we're proposing to maybe we just jump from 14 to 15.1. The next meeting, as you know, is scheduled on the 7th of August, and that everybody will be away for local government. There are five Wednesdays in the month of this month, so the proposal is we hold this meeting on the 31st
of July.
It will be the 31st of July. So is it agreed that we go to the 31st of July?
Yes, I'll
Okay, 31st of July.
It's not good the next week after?
No, that's country week. That's local government week.
No, local government week's the week before.
You wanted to bring something back.
In terms of...
Brett wanted something brought back.
To bring recommendations to the committee to... award the tender contract for the consultations, just to get them underway.
Another 14 days is another 14 days lost.
So, 31st of July is for
the... 31st, everybody happy with 31st of July?
Absence on the 31st.
You've put your apologies in?
Yeah, for the 31st I won't
be. Well, okay, we'll make for applications leave of absence. We'll give Councillor Jacobs leave of absence for the next meeting. Is that correct?
I can't be... I'm actually away. I'm from the 29th to the 1st or...
Well, one easy way of that, if I may, just gives you leave of absence to be granted, then you'll automatically not be here. So it's from what date?
29th of July.
29th of July.
To the 1st of September, whatever the 3rd day is.
Okay, we have the application for leave of absence.
I'd rather be here, but...
So...
By Councillor Jacobs, move Councillor Green. Are you application?
The 11th of July to the 22nd of July, thank you.
11th to the 22nd of July.
Not going to affect anything.
July. Any other leaders absence? No other leaders absence. Somebody like to move those to be granted.
Sorry, there's one more.
I've got 6th of August to the 27th.
6th of August to the 27th. All right, those three leaders of absences. Any more? Somebody like to move that those leaders of absences be granted. Move Councillor Hunt, seconded Councillor Gillingham. All those in favour? Motion carried. Then the next meeting is now on the 31st of July, which will automatically make an absence from Councillor Jacobs. The others will all be available. All happy with that?
So just in amongst all that, if I may, Mr Chair?
Yeah.
There are provisions within the administration regulations for committee members to phone in.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Yeah, we
last
fine.
Time.
And so, whilst last time we never got the approval, so they just had to be observers.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So through the provisions, we can actually take this to as a council agenda item.
Yeah.
To get, because you need the absolute majority of the council to allow it.
That's right.
So if Councillor Jacobs was able to phone in, yep. We could actually run that forward. I don't think any other leave of absences affected
that one. Just that one.
So if Councillor Jacobs was contactable and wanted to participate, we could put an agenda item up to the OCM in July.
Could do that.
And subject to Council agreeing to that, Councillor Jacobs could then participate. And Dr King might be in the same boat, by the way. So at least they could participate in the meeting via teleconference.
All right then.
Fantastic.
Someone like
we can just, we'll just refer administratively.
Yep. Okay. Do you want a reference from this committee back to full council?
Don't need to. I think we'll just do it as a standalone agenda item.
Okay. Righto. There's no other further general business, no other discussion. I close the meeting at 1:30. Thank you very much for your attendance and your input. And
extremely punctual.
Very punctual today. We are. meetings over an hour. Not good. Besides, I haven't even finished my lunch yet. Did you get a lot of email about that thing?
No, I haven't yet.
Is it here?
So
we'll stay behind very quickly.
Yeah, we need to grab that cheese platter out of the fridge, don't we? Or has that come out? Yeah. Well, we haven't ordered any other food, have we?
Yeah.
That's the only thing we've ordered food for. Yeah, well, they're going to be here all afternoon, so...